Hear now the promise of hope from God's word found in Jeremiah 33. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line, and he will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteous Savior. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Author Hans Christian Andersen says that when words fail, music speaks. And I have found this to be so true in my life. Music has the ability to soothe the anxious soul like no other. It has the ability to invigorate us for a workout or for a good cleaning project. It has the ability to evoke a familiar and happy memory in us, and it brings people together like nothing else can. Music indeed touches us where words fail, and it's no wonder that the Bible commands us so often to lift our voices in praise. The Old Testament is full of stories of musicians and singers singing and dancing and playing for the Lord. And our book of Psalms is really a book of songs that we are to offer in joyful worship. The epistles tell us to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude. And we are told to make a joyful melody to the Lord. As a community of faith, music knits us together like nothing else can. It teaches us important truths about God's word, and it touches us spiritually and emotionally like words often fail. As Christians, we have a rich heritage of music to choose from, both old and new. And during this Advent season, we're going to spend some of our time together talking about these beloved carols, these beloved songs that bring us together as a church community and teach us of God's story. My hope is that during this time that we will rediscover the meaning of some of these familiar songs, that they'll become more than just something we hum along to while we're out shopping, but we'll remember the true meaning behind them. And that through them, we'll hear God's story of love once again and be drawn into this Advent journey. For this first week of Advent, as is traditional, we're going to be talking about putting our hope in Jesus. That's what Chris spoke about just a minute ago. And for me, there is no better carol to express this hope we have in Christ than Come, Thou Long-Expected Jesus. This indeed is a carol of great hope, and at its core, it's a prayer asking Jesus to come and to meet us in our moments of deepest needs. Throughout all of history, God's people have been crying out for God to come, awaiting a Savior. And now we await once again Christ's coming. But we know that Christ will come, and we can hope in that. Jeremiah tells us that the days are coming where God will fulfill the good promise that he has made to the people of Israel. And in those days, he will make a righteous branch from the line of David, and that Jesus will do what is right and just in the land, and that we can be safe and secure in God's hands. There's a tension living in this kingdom, knowing that Christ has come and that he is still yet to come. We've had a taste of God's great love, and yet we know that there is more still to be had. We know that God loves and cares and protects us. But when we look around this world, we still see wars and famine, hunger and strife, brother set against brother, hearts broken in sickness and in death. And we know that this world is not everything God has promised to us, but we have hope that the days are coming when the Lord will fulfill his good promise to us, and we will know his love completely. The hope we have in Christ is that he will return, and that when he does, he will do what is just and right, and we will be saved and secured in his presence. So during this Advent time, our hearts cry out for God to come. We long and we wait and we hope for his presence in our lives, anxious to see him face to face, anxious to know the world that he has destined us for. Charles Wesley, the 18th century author of this beautiful carol, knows this longing well. Hear the words contained in the first verse, the beautiful prayer for Christ to come. Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. This song indeed is a prayer, begging Christ to come and bring his mercy, to come and fill our world with his love. And in it is a recognition that only Jesus can meet this need in our souls. This baby Christ born so many years ago is the one that will set us free. And yet, somehow, some way, we're still trapped in this broken world that we live in, encompassed by worry and fear, unable to escape our own selfish nature. We know this world is not the world God has promised us, and we are still in need of a Savior to free us from the pain and brokenness that we know. We are in need of a Savior to help us find our rest in thee. It's so tempting to put our hope in other things besides God, to hope in wealth or prestige, friends and family, our own abilities and skills. There's nothing bad about these things, but they will let us down. In my deepest moments of fear and weakness, it has only been God who has been able to calm the storm in my life. Friends and family, well-meaning as they might be, fall short. My strength fails. Money and prestige mean nothing to me. The only one who can calm the storms of my life has been Jesus Christ. And in that, I have seen glimpses into the heavenly kingdom that he has created us for. I have been given a taste of the world that he has invited us into, and I am given hope to persevere. Jesus indeed is our strength and our consolation, the hope of all the earth thou art, the dear desire of every nation, the joy of every longing heart. Wesley captures this longing so perfectly. And though he's from a different time and a different generation and a different place, human needs remain the same. The need to be loved, to be safe, to be connected with other people, to have purpose in this life. And Christ is the one in whom we put our hope. So what form will this hope take next? How will we recognize it when we see it? The second verse of this carol says that our hope comes as a savior, born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king. Here Christ came as the humblest of men and yet the mightiest of kings. And it is in this child that we are to put our hope, the one who has been born to reign in us forever, to now bring thy gracious kingdom. I hear such beautiful echoes of the Lord's Prayer in this carol. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Lord Jesus, come, reign in our hearts, reign in our lives, reign in this world. This carol is filled with longing for Christ to come and finish the work that he began so many years ago. And there is a hope-filled anticipation of what Christ is yet to do in our lives. One of the great tensions of the Christian faith is that we profess that our Savior has come, that God has already won, and yet there is still work to be done, that Christ is yet to come again. And this tension between the now and the not yet is particularly strong during Advent time, because we know we live in a time of a risen Savior. The baby Christ was born for our sins, has died for us, and has reunited us with God. And yet, we don't always see this joy in the world around us. We still see pain and suffering, terror, fear, pain. And we know that this isn't all that God has created us for. And it is in this tension that we live until Jesus returns again. But the good news of the gospel is that we already know how this story ends. There's no question how the book will finish. God wins. That's it. We can hope in the fact that victory is guaranteed. Love will win, and this kingdom will come. Remember the promise God makes to us in Jeremiah. The days are coming when I will fulfill the good promise I have made to the people of Israel. The days are coming. And unlike those before us, we continue to wait for those days to come, knowing that God's victory is inevitable, just counting down the days until Christ's love reigns in our hearts, in our lives, and in our worlds. And know that we don't wait in vain, because God's Spirit is with us, guiding us, protecting us, encouraging us as we seek his eternal kingdom. The last stanza of this carol is a plea for God to come and to fill us with his love, to bring us into his glorious kingdom. By thine own eternal Spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. We are not alone in this time of waiting, for God's Spirit is with us now, comforting us, guiding us, sustaining us day by day as we wait for Christ's return. And as we wait, we know that God strengthens us, gives us hope, and gives us the ability to persevere. Friends, as we embark on this time of waiting, this Advent journey, do not lose hope. The day is coming where God will fulfill his promise to us, and God's kingdom will be complete. But until then, we raise our voices in joyful song, pleading for him to come.